Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Welcome, fellow travelers. This is a guide to the 12 traditions, and we're on tradition 7. Thank you for joining us today in this workshop series. Every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. This workshop is being recorded, and the audio will be available at a later date. We kindly ask you to please rename yourself using your first name only. And then we are going to take a nice deep breath and use the serenity prayer. Higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Different one on the screen. Okay, and then we're going to introduce our presenters and our tech hosts. Okay, I'm not sure, is our tech host, Cheryl, are you our tech host for today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the one and only Cheryl F. from Toronto is our one and only tech host for today. Thank you, Cheryl. And then Mary Jo from Illinois, myself and Cheryl have put this workshop together for you, in addition with our pilot group of Michelle, Leslie, and Marchin. And
all right, Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you, Mary Jo. All right, so today for our Tradition 7 workshop, we will go over the workshop mission and intent of the 12 traditions, read our suggested commitment to service, go through our workshop guidelines, and introduce the tradition. We will have a skit presented, and then we'll have an open room with discussion questions. We'll close with the takeaways and our tradition meditation.
Okay. Thank you. Karen?
Our mission is to provide education and experience through a series of 12 workshops on how the traditions work to keep meeting safe and recovery oriented by practicing of the spiritual principles. And the intent of the 12 traditions from the ACA, from the Big Red Book, page 489 and 90, the ACA traditions outline fellowship unity, growth autonomy, and the ultimate authority of ACA, a loving higher power, as expressed in our group conscience. The ACA traditions frame our leadership style in the language of being a trusted servant. We avoid a style of governance or authority over another. Anonymity coming from love underlines all of the traditions and our group conduct. With the 12 traditions, we sustain ACA groups that allow the ACA solution of reparenting oneself to emerge and thrive. And we'll begin the suggested commitment to service. I perform from 601 in the Big Red Book. I perform service so that my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. 2, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience so that any decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority. And 3, placing principles before personalities.
Sure. 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program. 5, striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world services. 6, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities.
7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity and provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behaviors, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. And 9, remembering I am a trusted servant, I do not govern. Cheryl.
So today, our workshop guidelines, we share in a general way. For our purposes today, we kindly ask everyone to focus on the topic being presented so that we may cover all the material. Please remember to employ principles over personalities, curiosity over criticism, progress, not perfection, service coming from love, and our acronym HALT for humility, acceptance, love, and tolerance. Tradition 7. Every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Our spiritual principle is giving back.
Giving back. Next slide. Big Red Book, page 524 and 525. In ACA, we learn to give for the right reason and we learn the right amount to give. We give our fair share and let others give their fair share, so we all take ownership in ACA. The groups and services depend on individual and group donations. The principle of being fully self-supporting through our own contributions has been established at the group level and throughout the ACA service structure. No ACA member should be pressured to give money or be made to feel less than for not being able to contribute. The tradition also reminds us of the spiritual principle of giving and of giving with a willingness to help another. Some members give their time in sponsorship while others give their talents in the service structure. We all try to support our group and the service structure as best we can.
Okay, well, we are going to have a skit, as we usually do. And the following skit, it represents a discussion at a business meeting. We have 4 roles in this skit. I'm going to ask if Aaron will read the role of Pat. Buddy, if you'll do Joe. Arjun, if you'll do Drew, D-R-E-W, and Cheryl, if you will do Chris, please. Okay, and reminder that tradition 7, every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And here is the skit. So
which one was I, Mary Jo?
Pardon me?
Which one was I?
Your pet. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to, I hope this is big enough for everybody to read. I don't know if I can make it bigger.
Bottom right corner, Mary Jo, you have, you can scroll your Zoom, bottom right.
Okay. I don't have that when I'm on the screen sharing.
Okay.
Let's see. Let me try one more thing. I can change the view, maybe.
There you go.
Try that. Well, no, that's not going to work.
Is there anybody that can't read it? Let's go for it.
Okay.
Let's start with our treasurer's report. We never seem to have enough money anymore to pay our expenses. Our general expenses are rent, literature, our website, the holiday party, coins and medallions, coffee and water. And we don't even have a prudent reserve.
Maybe we need to look at what we're spending our money for. Providing coffee and water is expensive. And by the way, even though we give money to the church, they don't require any rent from us.
Because this is a hybrid meeting, some of those attending online don't seem to be contributing. Maybe we need to make it mandatory.
Well, our book talks about giving service. I've been doing a lot of work to keep this meeting going. I'm the contact person and the secretary, so I think I'm giving my fair share by doing that.
Well, that's true. Some people give in other ways, but we still need to be able to pay our expenses.
We do suggest a $2 contribution, but some people seem to ignore that. Others are generous, like Fred, who throws in $20 whenever he's here.
Speaking of Fred, he told me that his company gives funds to charities. I think he'd be happy to put us on their list. That would solve all our financial problems.
Yeah, if we get the money from Fred's company, then it would be the way it's supposed to be, where the program is free, and none of us would have to put any money in the basket, and we could stop talking about this stuff.
You're on mute.
Thank you, everyone. Now we'll start open discussion. So if you if you want to respond to the question, please raise your hand, and we'll go from there. So the first question is, do your group members know what your expenses are, and are they reasonable in your own group? Anybody? Do you even have a treasurer's report? Or do you have a treasurer?
In particular, with online meetings, how is that working?
Martin?
Thank you. Yeah, I just kind of became a treasurer for one of the online meetings. There was kind of like sort of changeover of the whole Zoom account and stuff like this. I've actually kind of spoken to people about the importance of seven tradition, because previously the Zoom account was owned by one person and they just paid the whole yearly amount. And I was trying to say to people that, you know, that's not really in the spirit of the seven tradition. We should all try to, you know, chip in as much as we can. So I'm just at the beginning of the journey with that meeting, and you know, I see importance of the seven tradition, and I know sometimes I say, if you can't contribute your money, contribute your time, because that's important too. So I know from experience in Polish fellowship, from some online meetings, unfortunately the seven tradition is just like really not discussed, because some groups use an application called Discord, and there is no fees to run meetings over there, so it's just like, you know, skimmed over, just the seven traditions. So I can see how new members might just miss the whole point of that very important, at least for me, self-supporting bit of the tradition seven. Thank you
Martin. Okay. You know, this particular group in the skit had a lot of expenses. Are they even reasonable expenses? What are your thoughts about all of that? If you don't have enough money, are those reasonable expenses even? And then they talked about not having a prudent reserve. What is a prudent reserve, and why is that important? Buddy?
Yeah, the group that I'm currently attending face-to-face is a hybrid. And although it's probably been around for at least 10 years, but the pandemic there, when it had to go to Zoom only, it lost pretty much a lot of its old-time members. And now it's back hybrid. And what I'm saying is that we have quite a few newcomers who this is their first experience with a 12-step program. So they don't have a background in Al-Anon or any other. And they don't really quite even understand the program or the steps yet. And so when it comes to the traditions, I see that blank look in everyone's face. So it's real a matter of trying to educate our fellowship, like, hey, guys and women, we do pay rent here to the church. And that's like our first obligation. But I do see when the basket goes around, like some members look at other members to see what they're putting in as a guide. I see it's probably on my shoulders, like as a not an old timer in ACA by any means, but an old timer in 12-step, maybe to talk to some of the newer fellas, maybe one-on-one, and just let them know, because some of them have some good paying jobs. And I feel like I'm running on, maybe I lost my point. I'll pass.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. Arden?
Yeah, it's kind of a painful question for me. My codependence hounds me by, luring me to unhealthy meetings. Yeah, that's partly also my town. First AA and Narcotics Anonymous meetings were not reaching out. Especially the Narcotics Anonymous was a meeting, especially for the father of the chairperson to earn money over our backs. And he would solve our problems. He would file for government grants to pay for his work, etc. Then when the meetings became more healthy, that was in a new center in town for all types of self-help groups. And those people knew AA and Al-Anon, so they made meetings more healthy. But still, they had government grants also to keep the meeting center open, and we decided that we would pay one third of our seven tradition for rent, although the other self-help groups, non-12-step programs, would not have to pay rent. We did. So yeah, that was one of the many subjects on which the meetings became more healthy. Then the Narcotics Anonymous and AA grew out to more programs in my town, including ACA. The intergroup for the Netherlands and Belgium was not healthy. A very expensive convention once a year, taking all of our seven tradition money. Seven tradition would grow with €1,000 a year, and still all of that money would go to that very expensive convention. Instead of for €1,000, you can have a convention locally in a town and have a much better outreach to the newcomers. But protest to no avail. Various translation coordinators who also were liaison to Europe and the ACA World Service went mad or quit all service before going mad, wreaking havoc in all meetings in my town or one other town. And we split off to conquer translations. That went well. by the time I was myself, I was very stressed and having much more sleep deprivation than I already had all my life. And I did not really see what's going on. I knew what was going on. I knew my Zoom channel was hijacked and taken for the meetings and my PayPal, but I did not realize that because I was too tired. And then, yeah, I find myself treasurer because the other guy who did this could not access my PayPal account. Mm-hmm. And he came to me, hey, you're a treasurer. But by that time, PayPal had blocked the account. So that was in the beginning of COVID times.
Yeah.
And that money is not recoverable anymore.
Thank you, Arjun.
Nowadays, the IGs, both IGs, the new and the old, are becoming more healthy. But that has cost a long way. Thank you.
Thank you, Arjun. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to move on to the next question. And I see we have a couple more people, so I'm going to ask that we limit our responses to 90 seconds going forward so that everybody has a chance to speak and we have a number of questions. But thank you. Thank you so far for all of that. Question two, we talk about there not being any membership fees. How is that different than the seventh tradition contributions? So in other words, could the seventh tradition contribution be considered a membership fee or not? What's the difference between a membership fee and the seventh tradition contribution? Vernell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vernell. I'm grateful to be here. Yeah, one is, you know, donate as you can. It's voluntary and membership fees are usually can be mandatory. I'm not sure that's probably my answer.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. Aaron?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Aaron?
So my thought is if something was made mandatory, I know that we from time to time have people that come to our meeting that have, you know, they are not exactly homeless, but they are really incapable. I mean, every penny that they have due to their life circumstances doesn't allow them to. We've also were fortunate sometime back when we would have before COVID, like anniversary parties and such. And we would have a rehab drop off some of their clients to attend the anniversary. And they also, you know, didn't have money on them. So I think it would definitely limit our ability to carry the message if we were considering it a membership fee as opposed to a contribution where you're paying your fair share. I pass.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. You know, there are costs to carrying the message, but there are no required fees, right? And so what does it mean to be fully self-supporting then? What would be the danger of mandatory contributions? And what is our fair share? And I don't know if you're ready to answer those questions, buddy, as follow-up. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say that this really leads to what our fellowship needs is a deeper understanding of the seventh tradition. The first phrase that every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting. That's not limiting to just financial contributions. Self-supporting means also getting involved in service, sharing the meeting, opening up the meeting, setting up the chairs and the tables. And that's something I do try to stress with fellows that I sponsor in my other fellowship. Like the seventh tradition goes far beyond money. And I don't know how well that's really understood throughout our fellowship, that it's, we're not just saying contribute financially, but contribute by giving your time back. You got to give it away in order to keep it.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Martin?
Yeah, thank you. I'm thinking that, you know, if there was some membership fees, that this could also lead to, I don't know, group coming up with, I don't know, certain requirements for people to join. You know, you have to be of that height or, I don't know, speak that language, stuff like this, that would just create, you know, really, really exclusionary, you know, environment. And that's why it's the contributions, as Buddy was saying, they're just not only money, it's time, energy, you know, involvement. So that's why it's important. Plus, you know, for me, seventh tradition is something that's coming, you know, from a place of love. I'm giving it, you know, so it can just carry on. And with membership fees, it's just like kind of, it starts becoming like obligation. I have to do it in order to participate. So that's my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Okay. All right. You know, it strikes me that in that the skit, that all of the expenses this particular group had, half of them could have gone away. Certainly coffee and water and things like that, those are nice to have in an in-person meeting, but they're, you know, if you don't have enough money to make your expenses, you make choices. There's a lot of things, but yeah, the time that people give, we are a volunteer organization, and it's vital from the meeting level all the way down to WSO. So, all right, next question. How do our service bodies, intergroups, regions, and World Service use contributions to carry the message? So in other words, the contributions that get, the excess contributions that meetings have that go to intergroups, regions, and World Services. And then also on an individual basis that people send, how are they used to carry the message? Do we think people know that? Or do we know that? Some of the things, okay, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I have to laugh when I ask some members about service. They say, oh, you mean the person who makes the coffee? And that's their extent of the service structure. Or maybe they think also of the person who has the key for the door. In a large part, what I see is we're just not really aware that there's a whole worldwide fellowship outside of our particular home group. And again, I try to stress this with the fellows I sponsor, but that's the thing, we don't seem to be very well aware of the worldwide service structure. Pass.
Thank you, buddy. Erin?
So our inner group has a couple different ways that we carry the message with the contributions. We do a new meeting. So if a meeting begins and has three members, or at the point where it gets three members, we give money to help them with literature and startup of a meeting. We also do, we have a fund for putting on workshops. And then we also have a fund for sending a delegate to the WSO. So those are three different ways off the top of my head that the inner group carries.
Thank you, Arjun?
Yeah. I would like to congratulate World Service for SCA with the Slack channel. That is a very good example for me, how busy that World Service is doing all kinds of stuff for outreach and further the relationships with fellows, existing fellows, deepening insights, talking about the literature and everything what happens in the Slack channel. It's a very beautiful way to communicate, not just the communication itself, but to show the people what's going on in the fellowship. Very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you, Arjun. Thank you. Okay, and Martin.
Hi, thank you. Well, our Polish Intergroup, for example, bought a cheap mobile phone and, you know, SIM card to have like a kind of, you know, well, not helpline, but people to you know, call us to find out a bit more about the ACA. So that's another way, to, you know, the intergroups kind of use the contributions. In Polish Fellowship, we also, you know, gonna soon be, you know, printing yellow workbook. So that's gonna cost money that we need to, you know, pay to WSO. So that's the contributions we are at the moment saving up to have enough money to pay for the literature, and then hopefully things will start rolling. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah. Thank you for those responses. The we have let's see. It's kind of like, if we don't honor tradition seven, what would it mean to the ACA organization as a whole? I mean, what would we lose if there were no seventh tradition contributions, both to the intergroups regions, but also World Services? There was some talk about prudent reserve and World Services near the end of the ABC a week ago, and that WSO doesn't have a prudent reserve. And I think on some level WSO does have a prudent reserve. It's that prudent reserve gets dipped into anytime there's a lot of money tied up in literature sales. The money that has to be spent to get the literature is tied up until that literature gets sold. And then there's a constant cycle of the money going back out to get more literature. So there is, I guess you could say, significant funds there, but it's there's a lot of it tied up in this transit of literature. And even more so now because the prices of everything went up. And of course now the board voted to increase the price of books based on the current costs after having discussions with the fellowship, especially at the teleconference, to get all points of view on that, or as many as possible. But I think in our case, you know, literature is a big part of carrying the message. And let's go to the next question then. This tradition reminds us of the spiritual principle of giving and giving with the willingness to help. How does giving honor our personal recovery? Arjun?
This is the start of my service. I did not have a sponsor. But still, I was already doing service for Narcotics Anonymous for the South of Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And in my town, no one wanted to sponsor me. So doing that service, I finally found a sponsor. Mm-hmm. That's, for me, one of the most sound examples of service helping my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Arjun. Anyone else? Some other thoughts? Okay, go ahead, Erin.
Well, what comes to me is in terms of spiritual principle, and that being giving, to me equates to gratitude. And gratitude as what I need to work in my program, and all the gifts that actually come mentally, emotionally, physically, mentally, from the practice of gratitude. So that is how it honors my personal recovery, to stay in gratitude. I pass.
Thank you. Buddy?
Yeah, I was told that I got to give it away in order to keep it. And I know that through sponsoring others, they keep me moving forward in steps. Every time a sponsee calls me and says, hey, you know what I'm reading about in step 8, and then right away I get thinking, oh, I need to brush up on that step myself. So it honors my personal recovery by keeping me committed, by giving to others. That keeps me committed to working the program myself.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. So yes, there's financial giving, and then there's the personal giving of our time and our resources. With the financial giving, oftentimes, you know, before recovery, I know that I've heard this talked about in AA and addiction programs, that before recovery, people spend a lot of money on their addiction, and in recovery, oftentimes it's hard to pry a dime out of them. there's a whole issue with that. But I think for me too, with Tradition 7, it's tied up in my own personal relationship with money. Sometimes it can be tied up. Like I'm worried about not having enough. And so even giving that $2 or whatever at the meeting, that could influence, although I've fortunately not too much for me, but I've seen that in others. It's like, I might not have enough. So I don't think I can give even that $2 today, as grateful as I am for this program. So how do we see how our meetings can fit into the big picture and help others understand that essentially what you had said before, buddy, you have to give it, you have to give it away to keep it. So, buddy, go ahead.
Yeah, not to answer your question, but in AA, the saying is that when alcoholics sober up, they also cheapen up.
That's okay. Thank you. Erin.
So what you were saying made me think of the promises and the fear of financial insecurity. Mm-hmm. And the more I keep working my program, and I realize that just that awareness of, you know, where is my money going? What's that fear really all about? You know, and what's the thing that's most important in my life? Am I giving enough there?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think I'm not sure, and I, you know, I don't have the best memory, but when it comes with the Red Book, I don't recall if there were any stories about my personal relationship with money, but I think Tradition 7 really is a good opportunity to think about that. I grew up in a home where there wasn't much. And so the idea of how I'm spending money, it was really, I mean, I agonized over things that weren't that important for a long time. I can't go there. And if I go there, what am I going to spend? You know, I can't spend very much, and so on. So anyway, Martin?
Thank you. For me, the self-supporting bit is very important. You know, both of my parents worked and they weren't actually self-supporting because they were constantly borrowing money of their parents. And when I got, well, when I became adult, I kind of, you know, I was working and I wasn't really self-supporting because I was using credit cards and racking up debts. So that's Tradition 7 is really important for me to remind to spend within my limits, to be within my limits, what I can afford. And it also goes beyond money. It goes within my like mental, emotional resources as well. I need to kind of check in with myself. Can I actually, you know, be involved with something? Do I have the capacity to be somewhere? So it's very important, that tradition becoming really important for me to just being self-supporting, although not falling into the other laundry list, trait number two, being self-resilient, the self-resilient stuff when I kind of completely shut down any support if I need to. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we'll move to question five. If a group is really having problems paying their expenses, what are ways they, meaning the meetings, intergroups, and regions, can raise funds? Can they? What can they do? Or how should we not raise funds? Arjun?
Yeah, going back to the first share, the expensive convention once a year could be put, a fraction of that money. We could have many local events, attracting many more newcomers to the program.
Yeah.
And most of the time, a convention pays itself back. And so it does not really cost any money in the end. Mm-hmm. When all bills are paid and the revenues are counted up, then it evens out where there will be a small profit for the next event.
Thank you. So, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
It increases awareness. I think in most cases, when there are local events like that, it increases the participation of the fellowship. So, yeah. So, in the skit, it talked about being able to, maybe Fred would put the group's name in for getting charity funds. Can we do that? No. Erin?
That wasn't my question. That wasn't my answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we just did something for our intergroup where we were looking at, you know, what we can do for fundraising, because with Zoom, with the pandemic, that less contributions were coming in. And so we were just reorganizing what we were going to do. And so one of the topics that came up was, well, how could we raise funds? So I'm going to read off some of the ideas that we came up with here. Well, and Buddy will remember this. We talked about when we were giving money to workshops, instead of just giving money to workshops, that what we would do is give seed money to workshops, which means that we give them money, but then we're asking them to pay it back when and as they can. And so here were some other ideas to do that. Having raffles of 50-50 tickets, raffling off ACA books or literature, also having a yard sale. We've also had bag raffles where people would donate different items if we were having a workshop or something, and people would donate items. And then we would have little bags with tickets so that you could kind of pay a certain amount for so many tickets and put them in the bags of the donated items. So it was like we also had silent auctions. We'd have a used book sale, baked goods, soup mixes, different foods, potluck picnics with fundraising events, a DJ dance party, t-shirt sales or other fundraising items, of course, without the ACA logo is what we decided. And then also having like a game night where there would be a fee, you know, to play the games, a fee, a donation to play games. And that could be either a Zoom thing or a live event.
Thanks, Erin. Yeah. And thank you for bringing up the logo. The guideline with the logo would generally be that if it's an ACA event within the event, if it's ACA only, or an ACA open event for friends and family and so on, you could use the ACA logo. But if it's a yard sale, open to the public, not so much, because then you're breaking anonymity. I think that would generally be the guideline. But
it was like a yard, like an ACA yard sale, like, you know, just part of a picnic or an event, and everybody brings things to donate to a yard sale.
Got it. Yeah. And I'm getting ready to move. I've got a lot of things to put on that yard sale. All right. So those are all the questions we have, but I know that there's more that can be said about the fifth tradition. So seventh tradition. Are there any other comments or thoughts about the seventh tradition, questions you might have in general? Anyone? Brunel?
Let me unmute myself. Okay. Well, this is my question in general is, we're on Zoom, my home group, moved to Zoom because of the pandemic, as someone has already mentioned, and some went back when the church opened back up, but there we are thriving. The group of us decided to stay on Zoom. So at first we weren't doing donations, but to cover the Zoom account, as has been mentioned, we started doing that, and also to give back to ACA World Services. So my treasurer is on here with me, and we have had a lot of problems with PayPal in general. So I'm bringing up the question, what do those of you that are still on Zoom use as a means for donating? I guess that's my question. So that can come now or later or whenever it works in.
Thank you. Erin, did you have a response to that or no? Okay. Arjun, go ahead.
I have a response to this question. Yeah, as I already said, my PayPal, when I let the other person take the initiative, my PayPal was blocked by PayPal in COVID times. So yeah. Only in the United States there were persons from PayPal support. Okay. And everywhere else, it was robot support, no way to get through. Okay. So do take care. Subsequently, the online meetings where both IGs where I'm involved, donate their money to the IG directly, not to the group. As groups, the meetings themselves have much less people for service. Intergroup has a bit more people and more leverage to open accounts. Mm-hmm. That can be a problem as well. But yeah, it's still not going very well in the completely online intergroup. But we manage, and the money is there, although not always. not always reported on, but yeah, it's getting better.
Thank you, Arjun. Thank you. I know.
I still have a question. I have a question, Mary Jo.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I do have a question. It was interesting because what I was going to say was similar to what Vermel was bringing up, because I remembered hearing at the convention. Well, first of all, you know, that because of the online meetings, we seem to be getting less contributions, and that only 17% of our fellowship contributions come directly from the members, which is lower than other fellowships significantly. I heard at the convention the idea of making sure that online meetings still have a treasurer, and that the treasurer could utilize a PayPal account. And the, just the fact that not like the one meeting I go to just says, you know, until we meet again, you can just send things in. And it's kind of apparent that it doesn't happen. So having an actual treasurer again may just make people more aware that, yes, we really do need to be supporting this meeting, even though we use the intergroup's Zoom. Well, we still need to support the intergroup, so that we still need to be doing that. So the idea at the ABC was to have a treasurer and have the treasurer have a PayPal account. But now I'm hearing that PayPal account isn't necessarily the right way to go. So I'm also curious, you know, what is the way to go if it's not a PayPal account that will help our members remember, yeah, I do need to contribute.
I go to the three meetings regularly, and one of them still has a treasurer. It's a hybrid meeting, and I'm the treasurer. But I use, that's been my home group for decades. So, and the person before me did the same thing. It's intermingled with my personal checking account, and we take contributions through PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, and check, whatever anybody wants to do. And then there's also the in-person contributions for those who show up there. It is not ideal. And some groups have been able to set up separate checking accounts, but that's difficult in the States because to set up an independent account, there's all kinds of hoops you have to jump through, and you have to be a 501c3 and all that kind of stuff. And it's almost impossible anymore to do that. So short of having, you know, in-person meetings, I think it definitely is easier. You can have an envelope of money if you want to do that. And somebody's responsible for that. And then also making sure that the funds don't get too large so that you're distributing to, you know, your access to the other service bodies as you can. I think it becomes far more tempting to anyone who wouldn't be tempted otherwise, perhaps, if you get a treasury that's significant. And we've definitely had situations in the fellowship where people have left and taken the money. And so it's like this balancing act. And two of my meetings have now gone to not having treasurers and asking people to contribute individually. And that's not ideal either. Like we said, I don't think people are doing it. Mm-hmm. So, coming up, I didn't realize until what you've talked about that PayPal isn't a good option to have an So, Buddy, do you have any wisdom for us here?
No, I can just reiterate what you had said. Our group, my home group, is a hybrid. And for the Zoom, our secretary uses her personal Venmo account. And it doesn't seem that she's had any problems with that thus far. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of my meetings that now does not have a treasurer, the last treasurer we had, we didn't know we had as much money as we had in that account before he distributed the funds, but he was doing it out of PayPal and it worked. So I'm not quite sure what the issue is. Karen was just saying she had to leave, and thank you for the discussion. Go ahead, Vernell.
Yes.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say was that it was working. We had a treasurer before Lisa stepped up, and it was working fine. And then, Lisa, would you say that it was kind of when that transition happened? And so it's been... And PayPal's not really giving much information on it. So we're just looking at other options. And I just wondered what others were doing. I don't know if Lisa wants to say anything. Yeah. Thank you all for your thoughts. I'm taking notes.
Okay. Thank you. Arjun?
Yes, we were actually lucky with the group for the Netherlands and the ACA that we could, our treasurer could open convert her personal bank account to a corporate bank account. But that construction does not exist anymore at that bank. And nowadays, I think with many banks, more and more, they will require that difference. And for such an intergroup would be required to become a registered service body for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would do that in the Netherlands now with my PayPal account, then previously I ran the risk of losing money to taxes because taxes regards this money as being mine and not from the intergroup because it is not yet registered. That said, the government now requires us, all foundation and club and cooperation like organizations must register now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the process of doing so, but yeah, we only have treasurer. We have a 4i principle for the treasury, so that's good. But we don't have a secretary and we don't have a chair for the intergroup at this moment. So
thank you, Arjun.
Still could not register.
Understood. Thank you. Lisa?
Hi, everyone. I am the treasurer for the group that Bernal was referencing. And yes, when I took over, I had to open a PayPal account. I did not want to tie it to my personal account. I think for me, the biggest concern there is we have yet to figure out what to do about a backup person. Should something happen to me, I certainly wouldn't want someone else going to my personal account. So what PayPal walked me through it, I had to open up a business PayPal account so I could have a donate button. And they could keep locking us out of our account, saying what the confusion is. And I think PayPal has gone through some major changes, although they won't admit that. But they're trying to keep track of these funds a little bit better. And they are seeing our monies that are donated as business transactions. And that is why the system keeps kicking us out. And I do believe, I think we're going to have a group conscious about it. I think we're going to be changing platforms. Either I like the suggestion tying it to a personal account, which I'm hesitant to do because I certainly wouldn't want that account locked up on me. And I did look into GoFundMe. Which has been about 2 months now since I've looked into it, but it did seem like a very viable option.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to go back and do some research on that, but PayPal just is not working as far as keeping it separate from a personal account.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Wow, mm-hmm. Thank you. Interesting. Go ahead, Bernal. Did you want to say something else?
Oh, I was just thanking Lisa. Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I like I said, you know, with my having our funds filtered through my personal account is problematic. Sorry. I would rather not do that, and I've been, you know, I haven't. I'm thinking, you know. As we transfer treasurers from time to time, I mean, we did have, originally we had somebody who had a separate account, somehow a separate checking account, but that is a thing of the past. You can't set it up that way anymore. So GoFundMe, never thought of that. Interesting. This may be something like, we should send out a questionnaire to all the meetings and find out how they do this. And you know, that's not a bad idea. I'm writing that down because, or like a survey, Survey Monkey. Martin, let's bring that up. with the IT committee or somebody, or any of us, because this has been eye opening for me. I didn't realize it's become this problematic. PayPal, and it makes sense that at some point, you know, they would start looking at this stuff, because there's a lot of nefarious groups out there who are collecting money, and they want to make sure that it's not going to fund terrorism and so on. And that's the issue with bank accounts, like you have to prove who you are. Because I was part of the WSO when we had to change bank accounts and so on, and we had to jump through a lot of hoops to be sure that they understood we aren't who we're funding and where the money is going. So, any other thoughts on this? I don't know if we provided any answers, but I think we've definitely brought up some questions that need answers. So, Arjun?
Yeah, perhaps this could be also a chapter in the new service manual that's being created.
Yeah, good point. Cheryl?
I wanted to share the technical challenges are there with, you know, the banking and all that sort of thing. But I don't know if anybody has had the issue of the anonymity. I know we do, because a lot of our stuff is e-transfers. And people don't want to e-transfer and have someone looking at what their donations are and have their email attached to it. And they really... I guess they want to really remain anonymous in all aspects, even with their donation. And I guess when the basket goes around, you know, most people are not looking at what you're putting in and assessing how much you're putting in and who's putting it. And there's no, analyzing that way. But with the technology and the tracing and all of that, that issue has come up. I just wanted to share that could be a contributing factor to our contributions not coming in as well for those that have that issue or concern. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I know this has been very helpful for me in ways that I didn't expect, and so I appreciate that. The thing too with World Services, I just wanna, there was some talk on Slack about it was irresponsible of WSO to not have a prudent reserve. And I think, you know, hopefully we understand that there is a prudent reserve somewhere out there behind the scenes. It's in essentially in literature. So it's tied up in the literature, and the literature is eventually going to sell and so on. We still have good, very good book sales, and being available on Amazon has made a huge difference with how many books we sell in the last several years. So there is that, and then that money's being spent to hire new special workers. A part of that is because we have a lot of volunteers at the WSO level, but there aren't enough to take on certain tasks. And so hiring special workers that are paid, it becomes just part of the process. And we were always going to head in that direction. So, Erin.
So the discussion has me thinking about that, just in terms of giving, Seventh Tradition giving, not just financially, but in service, and how, as you mentioned, that we don't have enough volunteers. And since the pandemic, that has not, I feel like it's decreased, but I definitely know that it has not grown. And that when we had in-person ABCs, there's such wonderful connections of meeting and getting to know people and wanting to be with other people in service. So that you know, so that that part of giving to our fellowship, the significance of that, giving that volunteer work at WSO is really, really important to carrying the message, you know, so that we're not as financially needing to be dependent on special workers, although we're going to need them. And the other point of that was, is escaping me. That our literature at this point in time, we are dependent on our literature as a fellowship because of the lack of seventh tradition contributions. Right. So thank you, passing it.
So, thank you. Okay, any other thoughts or questions or anything? Arjun?
Yes. For three of the four online meetings where I perform service, I have it in the meeting script, seventh tradition, then I read the seventh tradition that the groups ought to be fully self-supporting. And then I continue with seventh tradition is not just about money, service can be your contribution. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So there is that reminder in the script of three meetings.
That's good. Thank you. All right. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you. Cheryl? All
right, our resources. We have an email address that you may contact us at. traditions@ecwso.org. Our workshop recordings and slides are located at our adultchildren.org website, and it'll be under traditions workshops. And we also have our workshop dates and Zoom information found on our events calendar. And our seventh tradition contribution, every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Your contribution is a critical part of maintaining WSO services and delivering the message to the adult child who still suffers. And you may contribute at our website at adultchildren.org/seventh tradition. And may we have a volunteer to read our Tradition 7 meditation to close.
I can do that.
Thank you, buddy.
Closing Tradition 7 meditation. Higher power, I am here to do your will. Help me give for the right reason with the right amount. Help me remember that I have a different life today because of ACA. May I be willing to give back what was freely given to me. May I claim spiritual ownership in this fellowship.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. And I'm very mindful of the fact that everybody on this call gives service. And thank you for your service and what you do for your group, especially, and any service beyond that. So thank you, Cheryl. I think you were supposed to take that slide, but I felt moved to say that. Okay. All right.
No worries.
Mary Jo, could you go back to slide 23 that Cheryl read? I liked that wording, and maybe that's something we can put. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was writing it down and I didn't get it all. Okay. Thank you. I got it.
We will also post the slides when we post the recording.
Oh, wonderful. I didn't know that. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. This was great.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about something also afterwards, like how many, I know the one group that I go to, they don't even, and I didn't realize they didn't do this until we started talking about it, that they don't post in the chat the link to the seventh tradition. And I'm wondering, how many other groups, if any of the other groups here, do they do that?
We put it in about three or four times during the meeting. And at the end, it's mentioned. So yeah, it is constantly being put in there. Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. We definitely do. Thank you for asking.
I'm gonna as well. Same here. But we only do it once. I think putting it in multiple times is a good idea. I'm gonna stop the recording if that's okay.